Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the International Black Show, International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We are so happy to have you with us this evening. We are going to have a phenomenal show. I have with me tonight Miss Henrietta Bird out of Chicago, Illinois, Mr. Glenn Greenwich out of Queens, New York, Mr. Jerry Thomas out of Brooklyn, New York, and my name is Clara Lyons Devon, and I'm joining you from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and we are so excited. It has been a phenomenal week. There's quite a bit going on. For those of you who are new to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, we air every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have an annual event that happens the first weekend in August here, and this year we're very excited about going to Baltimore, Maryland. The Black Summit is a phenomenal organization. It is a gathering of people of various backgrounds of African descent from around the world, and we've been to pretty much almost every guys in every country. Just about. We haven't been to China and Australia yet, but we've been to quite a few places. So we're various views, and we really come together and celebrate to empower our vision and the declaration. We explore various questions and issues which really empower our participants to realize their vision for the Black community and for the world. I'd like to take a moment for us to share the declaration with you, and I believe Glenn is going to do that for us.
The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. January 31st, 2010, north, south, east, west, above, and below. A moment of silence, please.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The declaration is a very powerful declaration, and if you see something for yourself inside of that, you're welcome to go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. At the website, you can join our social network by logging in, creating a login name for yourself, and you can tell us who you are, what you're up to, join our summit family, and also find out about our upcoming events and activities on the website. One of the lines in particular that is exciting in the declaration is unpredictable results. And when President Obama was elected President of the United States of America, that was definitely unpredictable. So he had his State of the Union this week, and he was calling for a lot of things that people think are not possible, but in the summit and in the summit conversation, we definitely believe unpredictable results. So I'm sorry, we're getting a lot of feedback. Can someone put their mic on mute? I don't know what that is. So one of the things, you can star 6 to put your mic on mute if you're not speaking. So one of the things that I'm going to ask our group to chime in on, but did you guys have an opportunity to hear the State of the Union address this week?
Actually, I did. And the first thing I have to say is that it's nice to have some intelligent conversation coming from the president. Okay.
Yes, it is. Definitely.
So let's start there for me, and then the things that he talked about, and the things that that people have been critical of Obama, I believe that he addressed. Now, you know, and it was nice to kind of have him kind of gather his thoughts and say really what was going on for him and what he's seen and what he'd like to see. So, you know, it was all of that was inclusive of, at the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way he addressed the Republicans. He addressed the Supreme Court. You know, he was...
Yeah.
He just stepped right into it. He just addressed everybody who had an issue about something. He addressed them, which is, you know, so much a part of the International Black Summit because, you know, one of the things that we are about is things that are in your face, you know, things that are in your face and to deal with them and to understand that they have come as a, you know, kind of as a gift to let you know what's going on and you need to handle it. And so that was one of the things that really I really was present to during his address was how he was handling things that were in his face. He wasn't dancing around them. You know, he wasn't trying to act like that they were all lovey-dovey. You know, he addressed the issues with every group who was in front of him.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty phenomenal, too. I've watched several State of the Union addresses, and the amount of applause and standing ovation, you know, I like they were in a, an exercise class where you go,
That was incredible. That was.
You know, I was like, they're really going to get tired. But I was proud, too, because it really points to his ability to move people. And he started this platform under the auspices of change, you know, that we as a country are looking to change our perspective, change our way of being, change our participation, change, you know, who we're being in relationship to our country. And in the summit, you know, we have this distinction, change versus transformation. And I think it's important that people, let me talk to myself. It's important that, you know, I remember the commitment that I made when Obama started running and that it's just not him sitting there on the stage. I think the way he embraced him, and as Henrietta pointed out, brought everybody into the conversation and reminded them of their particular responsibility to have change occur was phenomenal.
Yeah, and the thing for me is that when you look at the difference, you know, we're beginning to kind of look at the difference between change and transformation, we're talking about a way of thinking versus just a way of doing. So it's really, for me, transformation speaks to the possibility of all aspects of yourself being changed. And what he's looking to do is to have that for the government, to have the government actually transform their way of thinking, their way of doing, their way of being. You know, he's, you know, and he demanded it. He's like, look, you know, we're going to get back to, you know, and he spoke his vision of what he saw for us.
Yeah.
And we weren't heading down that tunnel.
Yeah. And go more on your point, Brother Glenn. That's what he was doing for the Republicans. He put them in the box of nationalized TV. He said, look, you have an obligation to help me with this vision. Now, you know, all along, he was asking for bipartisanship for Republicans. Republicans always said party of no. Now the opportunity is there right now. Everybody see it now. Republicans, what you going to do about it? And I love when he did that because he actually showed me that us as people, that we have to help too. We cannot just be on the sidelines and just looking and figure we, you know, have our hands out and we didn't, we not do nothing about it. So that's very important for me too, though, that I get from it. Why? How could I help?
Right. I thought that was really good. The other, to that point as well, when you said politics of the past, you know, we keep referring to the past and what happened, you know, bringing people forward and having people look forward was really prominent in his speech. And just saying, you know, we need to stop it. We represent all of the people. This government is an inclusive government of everybody, and I thought that was phenomenal. And I definitely believe he's calling for an unpredictable result because it's a dire situation. But, you know, he handled himself very well. I was very proud of that.
Tell the truth, I was chuckling and laughing. I mean, like that. I'm just laughing because, I like when he put Republicans in the box. What you going to do? These people elect you to serve them. Are you going to serve them?
Right.
And that was beautiful how he boxed them in. They seemed like they don't know what to do.
Right. That was amazing. We have a caller at 11111. Do you have a question or a comment? You have your hand up. Area code 11111. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay. Well, you are listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and tonight we were just sharing some of our thoughts on President Obama's State of the Union. That occurred, when was that, Tuesday evening? Or was it Wednesday evening?
I think it was Tuesday.
Yes, I do.
It was Tuesday.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Is that you, Chicago?
Hello. Yes, it is.
Hi, it's Occasion.
How are you? Welcome.
I'm great.
Welcome. Did you have an opportunity to see the President's State of the Union?
No, I didn't. And in a way,
hello.
Okay.
Hello, you're live on the air.
I'm doing great.
I think we're having a little communication delay.
Oh, is it the delay?
That's Acacia calling in. She's all the way in Japan, and she's actually calling in on, we believe, on Skype. So we truly are connecting all over the world. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And one of the things while I'm here is I wanted to just let you all know that we're actually creating a new format. And so we're going to be changing the format of the Sunday shows and the themes. And I'll let Clara talk about that on our break. Go ahead, Clara.
I think the delay is gone now.
Okay, great. Did you have a comment about the State of the Union?
Yes. As I said, I didn't hear it, and in a way, I'm glad because I get to hear you guys speak of it, and I get to be an observer. And that's something here in Japan, as an American citizen, I've been able to do is become an observer. So as I listen to you guys talk about it, I can really feel the transformation that's being called upon me. I really see that President Obama is giving us the opportunity, giving me the opportunity to be government, to be what the institution, the Constitution really was being pinned for, was to give me the opportunity to, have a government that's really where I'm participating. I can't
what do you,
be able, yeah. So
Chikashi, what do you mean when you say he's giving you the opportunity to be government? How do you be government?
Well, I really think our forefathers, when they penned the Constitution, didn't want us to have a person be president. They wanted a person to represent the common man, to represent him, to speak for him. So President Obama is really President Chikashi speaking, or President Clara, or your next door neighbor. They're representing what we want. So when I looked at what was happening in 2005 in New Orleans, I got to really understand I'm the government. When I was saying the government should do something, I really got Chikashi. You should go down there and do something. So we have like two ways we can interact to things. We can go do something personally, like get up and go to New Orleans, or we can call our representatives, like the president, the congressman, the House of Representatives, and say, this is what I want done. I've elected you to do this. I've invested in you the power to do this. So for me now, government is very hands-on. I have always been the government. What is it? For the people, by the people?
Of the people.
Yeah.
So you're saying, I don't know, at first when you were talking, it almost sounded like he is the first president, not just the first African-American president, but based on the definition or based on the vision that you had about what, you know, the forefathers really wanted in a representative, it's almost like he's the first one who's actually done that. And I don't know that to be a fact. I'm saying in my lifetime, this is the first time I've ever heard of any president really representing what the people are actually want. And I'm sure there were others that did it, you know, based on what was handled in their community. But it seems as if this is the first one who's actually representing what the people want, based on what you were saying earlier.
Well, one of the things I'm saying something a little bit different.
Okay.
See, what I'm actually saying is let's come out of the past. Let's be in the present. Every moment is a possibility of right now. And, you know, it's like when the forefathers penned the Constitution, they were in the moment. So President Obama is giving us an opportunity to be in this moment. You know, we don't have to look to the past. We're in this moment. We're in this century. And in this century and in this moment, once again, we have the opportunity to understand who's really government. You know, that's the difference between change and transformation. It's like in this moment, now we're at another moment. So there's always a possibility for this moment. So in this moment, yes, he is the president. And yes, he is doing as we're asking. And as long as we keep asking, it's never been the president's job. It is always our job. The president is our representative. You know, that's how I look at it.
Awesome. You're listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and I would just like to invite you to go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. You can actually blog there. Our switchboard is full, which is fabulous. But you can go to our website and blog your thoughts and comments on the subject, the State of the Union, State of the Union address, and what you thought about President Obama, what you thought about or what you think about your opportunity Glenn, help me out here. I'm having a moment.
Well, what I'm present to is this whole conversation, change versus transformation, and what that looks like, and the opportunity, you know, obviously, of this conversation. And we also want to expand it and let you guys know that you can utilize the website. So blacksummit.org, we've got a social networking that is available to blog and to continue these conversations about our president. But the thing that I want to speak to is that what Chakasha is pointing to, and I hadn't seen it until Chakasha spoke it, but change would be me expecting the president to change. But transformation would be me taking a responsibility for that change and doing what I need to do as a citizen in terms of any work that I'm doing around the community, having conversations with the politicians in my area, my districts, around what are they doing to impact and make this country a better place to be. Is that what you're pointing to, Chakasha?
Yes, it is. Exactly that. Exactly. Like, who's my senator? Who's my House of Representatives? Who are those two people or three people? In fact, California, I'm from the state of California. So we have over two representatives. You know, what bill is now being put in? How do I contact the president? Like, there's some type of way I can actually contact the president. Now, as I say that, I realize I don't know how that is. But I live in a country where I can actually contact the person. So it's like you're saying, I'm being reawakening to my civic duty. You know, like I understand that's more than flying my flag on Veterans Day.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, you know, as we're looking, we're engaged in a new format, and give us a little direction, Clara. Where are we at this point?
Well, we're in the middle of our current events section, and one of the things that Chakasha brought forward was about how she saw her responsibility when the New Orleans piece came up, you know, when we had the tragedy in New Orleans with the hurricanes. And now we're in a similar position where it's not in our country, but in Haiti. And it gives us an opportunity to look at who we're being in relationship to our global family, you know, that, you know, that same issue has come up, and how, who am I being such that I impact what's happening in Haiti, and who am I being such that I impact what's happening in the United States of America?
Yes, Claire.
Yes.
Claire, I think that's excellent, because, you know, I'm actually looking at that. I haven't made a donation yet. You know, I've been looking at a couple of things, but like I see, here's the opportunity. I could start a donation campaign at my church, or I could start a donation campaign at my job, or, you know, I can find out what are the things that are needed to help over there. What doctors do I know that, you know, might be able to fly over there? But it's like tons of things I can be doing, and versus just sitting and watching TV and going, I wonder what the government is going to do. You know, this is a golden opportunity. You know, when the Haiti earthquake happened, you know, I was like, oh my goodness. And I see opportunity here for another opportunity for us to be humanitarians. Like, you know, how can we express how much we do care? We're a country that cares, and now this situation has presented an opportunity to show how much we care.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Henrietta?
It's 27 after the hour. And I wanted to say that for the people who are conscious of, who need to be conscious of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to, really trying to be a listening for what this is, you know, for what this is all about. And I find myself, like, in conversation where I guess for the first time it really matters to me. You know, certain things just matter to me. Certain political things matter to me, where as before they just didn't. Let me just say it that way, you know. And so what I'm present to now is my responsibility, you know, like Takesha said, my responsibility in this whole political universe that I'm in, you know, that whole thing. And so, and that it just makes me conscious. So I'm really still taking everything in, just taking it in, and. You know, like placing myself in certain areas so that, and listening, I guess listening is the most, is where I spend most of my time now, listening to see where, what it is that I am to do in the, you know, being one with this whole piece.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah, and I go more, Sister Henrietta, the point, as being a listener you know, is very important, because sometimes you can see things very clearly of that situation that you're in, and you ask yourself, what could I do? Instead of, like, sometimes that you talk to the person and stuff like that, and asking me as becoming a talk show host, especially, like, on the political things that we talk about for the past 30 minutes, it to me, it brings home that we got to constantly be listeners. We got to be conscious what's going on in our community, and especially globally, of African descent. Because you never know of that moment when we listen, we could pass it to others, even at certain times we don't even know when. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important, as for me, that being a listener sometimes could make it, it can definitely make it work for us as African descent.
Mm-hmm.
To broaden our views.
Gotcha. Glenn.
Well, I'm just left with, again, the global conversation, what must I transform in myself in order to transform the world? You know, that was one of the inquiries that the International Black Summit engaged in, and I'm at that point again in this conversation in terms of who and what must I be in order to transform the world. So it's bumping me up against that, my comfort zone, which I know the place that I've been comfortable in being for myself, you know, how I'm being myself, and suggesting a new possibility of being out in the world. So it's, and then the other thing is, if I'm the source of my vision, you know, including that in this conversation, you know, being the source of my vision. So who am I being? What am I generating? What am I creating? You know, who am I impacting? How am I impacting that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those come to mind.
Gotcha. So what I'm hearing from our conversation so far is, one, each of us individually is change, represents change. And to the degree that we communicate that change or that desire for change to our representatives, and also that we act on that desire for change within our communities, is the degree to which our communities get transformed. That was one thing I heard. The other thing I heard was that we have tuned up our listening, whereas maybe in the past, you know, we may not have listened to a State of the Union address. But now there's this opportunity to listen to, you know, what's going on around us, and not, and also be a voice inside of our listening to see, you know, listen to see what our contribution should be,
yeah.
You know, or what our contribution will be,
yeah.
Based on what it is we're hearing going on from our president, what we're hearing going on in the global conversation, which many people didn't listen to as often in the past. But getting in tune with that global conversation. Then I also hear what's been said is that we are also the source of our vision, and that's the declaration statement this year for the International Black Summit. President Obama spoke his vision in the State of the Union address. Shakesha on this call spoke her vision. More people, even though it's the declaration of the International Black Summit, in our listening, the world, we are actually hearing people speak their vision for their community and their vision for the world like we haven't heard it before. And maybe people have been saying it and we just weren't listening, but now it seems like it's more audible that every time I turn on the television or I look, different venues or go to different places, I hear the vision that people have for the community and the vision that people have for the world. So I guess my listening is tuned up as well, and people are also speaking their vision as, I'm the source. I get to create it. I get to name it. I get to speak it. I get to be it. I get to do it. And inside of all of that comes the opportunity for transformation, which I think is a really powerful place to stand. And the question, Lynn, that you said the International Black Summit had, I forget what year that was, the transformation question. Can you state it again, please?
Yeah, I can. Hold on. I'll take a look. I've got it up here. It's Oakland 93. Who or what must I be in order to transform the black community and the world?
Who or what must I be to transform the black community?
Now, interestingly enough, the one before that in 1992 at Highland Park, Michigan, was what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? So we've actually been engaging in this conversation consciously and unconsciously for quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Clara?
Yes.
This is Chikesha from Japan, Okinawa. And it's just great that we're actually looking at the question that in Oakland, and that was my very first International Black Summit, was in Oakland, California. And it's just amazing to track this, and to find myself on this timeline. I think that's one of the things that is exciting me so much about government right now, is that I see myself in history. I remember in history books when we studied timelines, and I never thought I would see myself or understand myself on the timeline. And in the history of the International Black Summit, I'm on the timeline, and people speak of that. So when Glenn said that, it was just like this tingling all over my body. And I'm a retired school teacher, and I always tell young people when I speak to them, your history, what you're doing now will be in history books one day. And I mean, in this moment, I actually got that for myself, that I'm in the history. When people speak history, that's me they're talking about. I'm so excited.
That's pretty incredible to see oneself as history.
Yeah, it's true.
I would like to share a moment with our listening audience. We recently had a retreat, we being the talk show team. And in that retreat, we're all in different time zones. So Chikesha is in one time zone in Japan, and those of us on the East Coast are in another time zone, and Henrietta is in the Central time zone, and then we have the West Coast time zone. And at one point in the evening, it was, I forget what time it was, but we were a representation of the past, the present, and the future, because it was yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all at the same time. And we were present to the power in holding that space of all of it. And when I think about President Obama and what's going on in our country right now, I get that sense of being in the past, the present, and the future all at one time, like it's all collapsed. And it's a really powerful place because it's almost like a space of creation. That's how I was holding it. Like we, in that moment when we were talking, we were creating. And when I listened to Obama do the State of the Union address, we were creating. And I was talking to a friend earlier about this idea of change versus transformation. And she was asking, well, what's the difference? And I said, well, you change your clothes, you know, you change your attitude. Change, you can go back and forth. You can change from this to that and back again. Transformation is once you go to that new state, the old state doesn't exist again. It's a new being, you know, like the caterpillar, the butterfly. You know, it's not what it was, better than what it was, and it can't go back to what it was before. And that's the space that I see us not only going to, but also in. Like we're in that, we're in the state of transforming as a country. That's what I'm seeing right now. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that moment that occurred where we realized we were actually in two different days and three different time zones, it was a summit moment. You know, it was like, that's what I call a summit moment. It's, you know, it's that moment where everybody is just like on one accord, you know, and they're still individuals and everybody's an individual, you know. But everybody's on one accord, you know, everybody at this moment has that same realization. And it may not have been an identical realization, but that realization of past, present, and future, or whatever that meant to each one of us as individuals, was a summit moment, what I call a summit moment, that, you know, that blissful kind of moment where you just look and step into possibility, you know, and not thinking that you can, but that you are possibility. You are that possibility in that moment, you know. So that was an experience, you know. That was, and there's always one of those experiences, you know, what I call moments, whenever we're in any kind of conversation, you know, about it, it's that way. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the International Black Summit, that we have those moments where you realize your oneness with all people, you know, just your oneness with all people. And when you look at the declaration, and for everybody, we'll go to the website and take a look at the declaration and really see where you find yourself in that declaration. And when I say find yourself, I mean, you know, where do you fit, or where does it grab you, or where does it just open your heart and have you pour something out in it? You know, where is it that you feel it was written just for you? You know, because the declaration of the International Black Summit was written for you. You know, it was written for everyone, for whatever time. That's why we always presence the date and the place where it originated, and then where we are in this moment, we'll always state that, because it's timeless. The declaration is timeless. And the more, you know, we've added to it, you know, just some of the endings that we do, but it's written for each and every one of us. And those questions also, like we were bringing up, you know, questions. And let me know, Claire, when we should continue on with the new part of the agenda, please.
Well, I was going to ask if you had a specific example of a particular summit moment that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I really do. And since Chitasha was talking about New Orleans, we had the privilege of having the summit event in New Orleans 2 years after Katrina, 2 years after Katrina in 2007. And when I say privilege, I mean we had the privilege of actually going and helping rebuild the week before our event, our annual event, and the week after our annual event. And so there were three things that I would like to to speak about that happened at that summit that were what I call summit moments. And one of the moments was when we were rebuilding, one of the people in the summit, Oren, out of New York, was on a roof, and he was trying to repair this roof so that when it rained, it would not damage, you know, continue to do damage. And it was, and we were all kind of helping, doing whatever we were doing, and he needed something. He needed somebody to hand him something, and he was up on the roof. And just as we were kind of passing it to hand to him, he kind of went into a daze, like, and he stood there, and it was about 95 degrees that particular day. It was in August, and we were like, Oren, you know, and he was in the moment, and he realized in the moment what it must have been like for people to be in that hot sun on the roof for 2 and 3 days waiting for assistance. And when he spoke it, then we all just, oh, you know, because there he stood like on a hot roof, 95 degrees, and that's when we all got present to what Katrina really was for the people in the city of New Orleans who had to be rescued, and what that was like. And we still didn't have it 100%, but just what we had was so, oh my God, you know, just there. Another summit moment in New Orleans was when we were in the event, and the actual event, the conversation was taking place, and in came people who had been traveling to get to New Orleans for this summit, and they traveled from Los Angeles, California. And when they walked in the room, and they didn't get there either till late the first evening, and it might have even been the second day, I'm not really sure about that, but when they walked in the room, a group of one of the guys who was from the East Coast stood up and recognized that these were his relatives he had been looking for since Katrina. Now, they had relocated to California. He had relocated to the East Coast. I'm not sure what state it was, but it was East Coast. And when he realized that that was the family he had been looking for, oh, my God, that was a summit moment. That was a summit moment. And so I have one other one, but I'll save that for next week or something. But those are the, you know, summit moments are when everybody in the room is just get it. You know, they get what it's like for the other person to the degree that they can taste it, feel it, smell it, you know, enjoy it all at once.
Thank you for sharing that on several levels. Yeah, one, because it gets me present to Haiti. You know, what the people are going through now.
Yeah.
Haiti is like a flashback to New Orleans for me.
Right.
You know, that's there for me. The other thing that is there for me is the summit experience. And I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And each year we have an annual summit event. It's always the first weekend in August. If you're interested, you can go to our website, www.blacksummit.org, and register for that event. But it is such an experience. And Henrietta shared a little bit about, just a little bit, New Orleans was such a special summit because, as Henrietta pointed out, we were there directly after Katrina occurred. And we align on where we're going sometimes a year in advance or 2 years in advance. So just the fact that we were there at the time this event, you know, this catastrophe had happened was phenomenal in and of itself. But the summit experience is such an incredible experience because not only do we get to engage in what our visions are and live it, as both Shakesha and Henrietta have an opportunity to, you know, work in the community both before and after the event of Katrina, and, you know, meet and be with the people and develop relationship and build family, the Summit family just has arms like an octopus, and there's so much love, and there's so much energy, and there's so much enlightenment. I learn so much each year about myself, and the people who come learn about themselves, and the level of sharing that goes on in a Summit event is something that's not duplicated anywhere else I've ever been. It's phenomenal. And so I just invite you to share that experience with us. We will be in Baltimore this year. June the 4th, there will be a prerequisite in Washington, D.C. June the 5th, there will be a prerequisite in Baltimore, Maryland. We will be having a share here in New Jersey on February the 28th in the evening. You can go to our website, join our social network. If you can't make it to Baltimore, give you an opportunity to engage with some of the people in the Summit and put yourself in the Summit family. You can go to the website and register for the annual event and also get information about upcoming prerequisites and things that are going on throughout the country and also in Canada and in Africa. And the other thing that I invite you to do at the website is there is a section where you can create a blog, and we would very much like to hear your feedback, your comments about what's going on in Haiti, what you thought about President Obama's address. Jerry, you were going to ask our listeners for their feedback. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, sister. If anybody wants to go to the feedback, is send us an email to internationalblacksummit.talkshows.
I think it's talkshow@blacksummit.org. That's our email address. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So y'all send us the email, and we will happily get back at you.
Definitely, definitely. And we'd like some feedback. We're engaging in a new format. We're incorporating current events. We're incorporating Summit moments. And we're also incorporating different aspects of the Summit conversation, which is a very transformational conversation. We have so many distinctions in our tool belt. We've engaged in questions and inquiries that essentially empower us to look at our vision, to look at ourselves and how we are expressing our vision in the world, because that's basically our premise for people to realize their vision for the Black community and for the world. So we have about 2 minutes left, and I'm going to just check back in with all of our hosts for your final comments. And I'll start with you, Shakesha, in Japan. You have a closing comment for our guests, for our listeners?
Yes. One, I just wanted to just really say we're right on the moment of Black History Month starting here in Japan. It is February the 1st, so we are in the first day of Black History Month. And, once again, following this conversation about government and contribution, as a retired school teacher, I just want to send out to everyone to please go and spend a day at a school, whether you're a parent or not. Just by going in and signing up in the office, you can volunteer. And, just go in and speak to the students about your experience in life. If you're a nurse, talk about that. If you're a mechanic, that's a way to be part of our government, our civic opportunities to participate with our educational system and our youth. and, you know, that's like really making a difference in really rewriting history. You know, I would love to see schools overwhelmed with volunteers. And I'm just really happy to be part of this family. Someone said earlier, global family, and my experience has been a member of the global family. You know, all around the world I travel, and I find people who open their arms and home to me. I'm finding that in Japan. And just really want to remind our listening audience how much of a global world we are. Everything's global, you know. So, and this conversation is a global conversation. You know, around the world, people are looking at how to be involved in world government. We're looking at global warming. We're looking at water issues. So everything's a global conversation. There's no borders. We're global.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Jerry?
Well, I just want to thank again the listeners who have listened to us, and we definitely as a global family. And I appreciate everybody on the talk show team. I love being black. I mean, I love me as African descent. I love the work that we do because we impacted not just ourselves but other people. And this year, let's make this program, this format strong.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Henrietta.
I would just like to invite everyone to share in our summit moments. We would, you know, the more the merrier. The more people that we can share these moments with, the better the universe is. Oneness is kind of the order of the day, you know, and I look forward to seeing some of the listeners in Baltimore this year, and I really would love to share these summit moments with you. God bless.
Awesome. Thank you. Glenn?
Yeah, so I'm going to quickly, next week Henrietta and I are going to be championing the topic of health and wellness under the umbrella. The monthly theme is going to be Black History. And so we're going to be looking at the different health and wellness aspects. I'm actually reading an article called The Color of Cancer, The Role of Race and Ethnicity in Cancer. And so that may be one of the things that we'll be quoting at and looking at is the effect of cancer and the role race plays in it. But we're also going to be looking at some other topics around health and wellness, and bringing some history, some Black history, into that mix of that conversation. So join us next week at 8 p.m. Looking forward to hearing. And we've got the Oxygen Room that's going to be happening in tokbox.com, T-O-K-B-O-X.com. So come in and join us, or we'll be extending the show for another half an hour.
Okay, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern Time. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
For the show next week, yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Can I say one more thing before we close?
Yes.
It'd be quick. Brothers, sisters, our global family, let's remember one thing. Let's not celebrate Black History Month for February. Let's celebrate 365 days a year because we need it.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Well, you have been listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I want to thank everybody, mostly my hosts, Glenn, Jerry, Henrietta, Shakesha, for your comments and your sharing. Thanks to those who listen live. Thanks to those of you in the chat room. Remember to go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. and post your comments and join us after the show on TalkBox, our Oxygen segment. God bless you, and have a great evening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Yes, so look for Glenn Greenwich in Talkbox.com. Connect with Glenn Greenwich at Talkbox.com.
Okay.
We're offline, off air. Wonderful. So I will see all of you guys on Talkbox now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a couple of listeners.
You're not
in the
off
chat
the air. You're not off the air.
And I don't know that they can hear us or not, but join us in Talkbox. Ciao.
Okay, I'm on Skype. That's why. Oh, you may be off the air. I forgot I was on Skype. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to Skype.
Okay. Yeah, no, we're not live on here anymore. We're we're recording, but we're not. So we'll join you on Talkbox. Talkbox. Great show, you guys.
All right.
Thank you.